from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The vibes were off. I don't think that was a really super tight Buffalo Bills team. They won a lot, and they did the Bills thing because they have good players. Everything now in training camp is saying a weight is lifted, it's refreshing, it's a different Josh Allen. And I honestly do think that has a lot to do with Stephon Diggs. I like Stephon Diggs as a person. I have a good history with him as a show. I think it was time for that relationship to end, and I don't think Josh Allen misses him, because he just said he doesn't miss him, and he shouldn't miss him. He's moving on.
Was it
Kyle Brandt on Josh Allen's comments about Diggs? I don't agree, though. I said this yesterday with Sal. I don't agree. I think Allen walked the tightrope. He didn't say he misses Diggs. He didn't say he doesn't miss Diggs, because he knows. I guess it made headlines anyway. He knows if he does one or the other. If he says, I don't miss Diggs, then it's all, see, they never liked each other. There was bad blood. If he says, I miss Stephon Diggs, then what does it get aggregated to? Oh, trouble with the Bills receiver room? Allen misses Diggs? I thought he did a good job walking the tightrope. We'll talk some fantasy here with Adam Krautwurst, full-time fantasy, host of The Deep End, co-host of The Deep End with Mike Shope. Be sure to check it out. You guys had Bulldog in to do a draft recently, didn't you?
Yes, it was a night to never forget with Bulldog on the show, wow. Doing fantasy drafts. It was the best.
How, this is something, you know, I'm not like a sharp drafter. I do the underdog drafts. And I'm sure you're drafting a lot more than I am. When you get to your home leagues, or you get to start drafting against people that are maybe doing their first draft of the season, or, you know, one of their only drafts of the season, How do you take that in? Do you draft differently when you're going against people that might not be doing a lot of like the daily stuff?
Yeah, I think you have to, and I also before I do a couple home leagues at like the end of August. Normally, I have to like go into the draft room and see like what the rankings are in their drafts, right? Because like you know, I do a lot of drafts on FFWC. FFPC, Underdog, like you said, and like each kind of website has their own unique scoring and all that type of thing. So I really have to go into like if it's an ESPN or Yahoo and see where they have the players pre-ranked, because a lot of times it affects like guys will just pick like maybe the next best player on the list. And if you have guys that you really like, sleepers and stuff, they may be way down the list. And I don't want to forget about them. So that's really the research that I'm really doing is, hey, where are the guys that I like on the list, and can I wait longer to get them than I normally do?
Yeah, that's what I'm currently trying to figure out right now. Like, because I'm so used to drafting with underdog ADP because it's right there for you, especially when you're drafting, that, okay, now I show up to my home league in a week, and I don't know, like, Nico Collins is probably not going as high on the Yahoo app as he is on the underdog app. I know we can look that up. Adam Krauwers, full-time fantasy, at Adam_Krauwers if you want to follow him on Twitter. And you're on your way, or you're not on your way yet, you're leaving this morning for the Fantasy Football Expo?
Yes, sir. Right. Canton, Ohio every year. It's just a big party where all the analysts and players get together and just hang out before the depths of the season really kick in.
Love it. What, you had Dez Bryant was there? Are you expecting any celebrity appearances?
Yeah, Dez was there last year. He was promoting something. I haven't heard that he's going to be there this year. But usually somebody like that pops up every year.
Yeah, cool. Excited to see who shows up this year. In terms of what's going on right now, Adam, at these camps, are you seeing anybody that is rising in a big way or falling in a big way based on camp alone?
Yeah, that usually, I mean, I'm a junkie, man. I'm a junkie for all the camp videos and all the camp news. I follow too. I'm not affiliated with them whatsoever, but I don't know if you follow 32 beat writers on Twitter.
Yes.
They're such a great spot. I usually go there every night and just scroll through and watch the highlights and videos and camp talk. But yeah, I think it's hard to really parse through like what is coach speak and what is, you know, actual stuff happening. Like and even like playing time in the preseason. Like you normally, if guys play a ton in the first preseason game, that means they're, you know, the team doesn't really prioritize them. That happened with Josh Jacobs a couple of years ago, right? Like he played like the whole first game in the preseason, and then didn't play again. He ended up having his greatest year ever, and everyone's, oh, he's not gonna, you know, they're trying to get rid of him. It's a new coaching staff, so it's really hard to try to figure this stuff out. So. And there is a skill to it. So I haven't perfected it yet, but yeah, I'm watching all the videos, but then stuff's interesting too, right? Like everyone knows Malik Nabers is a good player and now he's doing well in camp. Like, well, what did you expect? He's like, why would his ADP change just because he's having a good camp when everyone knew he was already a good player?
Right. No, right. Exactly. It's not surprising at all that he would be bursting out and, you know, the Lions coach, Dan Campbell, referred to him as like a mix of Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson the other day. It's like, I really shouldn't adjust where I pick him. I already thought he was going to be incredible.
Exactly. Right.
In terms of some of the big names that are a part of headlines right now, what do you do if you're drafting today with Brandon Ayuk? Are you docking him because, like, I guess, would he go higher if you had certainty of where he was going to go? Or are you even treating it as a good thing that it looks like he'll get dealt because his target share probably goes up no matter where he goes, although you would probably think the quality of the offense goes down.
Yeah, that's interesting. I just, if you would have told me like Ayuk was going to go somewhere, and but you know it's kind of a grab bag like where he could go, I would have thought that it would have been like a really good place. But the places that we're hearing are kind of scary. Like Pittsburgh is terrifying because Arthur Smith is awful and they want to, you know, run the ball a ton, and they have George Pickens there and Pat Freiermuth. New England's terrible, although I don't think he's ended up going there. But New England's terrible because their offense is terrible. Their quarterbacks are terrible. So there's not really a ton of places where he can go that makes him better. Cleveland's interesting. If Amari Cooper comes back in a trade to San Francisco, Cleveland's probably the best spot for him. How I'm treating him in draft is funny. I actually took him last night in the middle of the fourth round as my fourth receiver. I know I'm a lunatic. I went zero RB here. But I started like Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Cooper Kupp, and Brandon Ayuk. So if he stays in San Francisco, that's a smash. He went as wide receiver 26. If he stays in San Francisco, he's definitely a top 20 receiver. But I think you just kind of have to go into each draft not knowing and kind of just kind of figuring out during that draft. So let's say that draft is like, hey, I think I'm just going to stay, take him at wide receiver 26 in the fourth. But then I also took George Kittle as tight end 8. And if Ayuk gets dealt, Kittle's a top 3 to tight end. So you can kind of play it both ways there. There's no real spots that I really love Ayuk in unless he goes to Cleveland and a Cooper goes back to San Francisco.
Right, which would be the most interesting trade I think that could happen unless, you know, if Pittsburgh decides we'll throw Pickens back, then those would be some big names too. But right, like the report by Matt Maiocco was that Cooper would be a part of the deal going back to San Francisco. And then, like, I mean, that kind of works for, maybe not for George Kittle, like you said,
but that
kind of works for everybody, right? Like, if Cooper got dealt to San Francisco, I mean, would that be a downgrade for him? Because you would expect him to go from the number one to maybe, I mean, he could even be third in the pecking order there, no?
I don't think it would be a down because I'm not really high on him. I don't know, man. The Deshaun Watson, Cleveland, like I'm not super high on them anyways. They could be okay. But if you go to San Francisco with Shanahan, I mean, they're going to know what to do with him. He's a route runner. He's an older version of Brandon Ayuk. He's a route runner. He's smart. He's savvy. They'll know what to do with him. He may not have like those massive upside, like last year was it week 16. He like broke fantasy football. He might not have that in him, but I think the consistent week-to-week, having a quarterback who knows where to go with the football, I think that would be fine for him. I think I would actually raise him maybe a little bit, or maybe I would leave him at ADP, but just start drafting him as opposed to fading him.
While we're on Cleveland, I had them written down as a team to get to with you. Nick Chubb right now, it looks like he's not going to start the season as he rehabs from injury. What's your philosophy on players that are coming back from injury like that where, hey, maybe they'll show up and perform for me late in the season? Are you someone that stays away in general, or were you by the discounted rate hoping that, you know, again, they'll be close to form by the second half of the year?
Yeah, most of the leagues I play in, all the money and the most valuable weeks are at the end of the season. So that's when you really want your guys going. That's why you want to draft rookie receivers, because the second half of the season, guys coming off an injury. I'm fine with getting Chubb at the right price, in the right build. Jonathan Brooks, same thing. Like, he'll probably start on the pop, and then he'll be a second-half guy as a rookie for the running back for the Panthers. But, yeah, Chubb has to be in the right build. You can't go, like, hero RB and have him be, like, your second running back, because you're going to be without him for, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks or something like that. So I'm fine with buying the dip. Injury guys, stuff like that. The question with Chubb is, you know, is he even going to be effective? I mean, he's older now. You know, he's not like a young, spry back like he used to be, but I feel like he reminds me a lot of like Frank Gore, like a guy who would always get hurt and he just played and played and played. So I think he could definitely be a thing in the second half.
Right. He had a really bad injury in college that, yeah. I mean, obviously didn't derail him from having an NFL career. That injury was so bad last year. We'll see when he could come back. And Jerome Ford, too, like, he's one where I always feel like I want to buy in on him, but when he'll start the year, I'm sure, running back for them, but how many big weeks did he really have after Chubb went down? Like, there were a couple early, and then didn't it kind of go away for him?
Yeah, he's not a superstar back, but again, he's a player that maybe you can lean on. Maybe you take him and then Chubb a little later on. You know, you can get some of these backs early on. I know it's gross to think about, but like Zeke Elliott, you can grab a back like him. You know, he's going to play the first 3 or 4 games, and then you can lean on a guy like Chubb later on. But Ford isn't a guy, you know, but again, that's all kind of break. The price is baked in, right, Joe? I mean, Ford's going super late. He's going RB 38. I mean, he doesn't have to be awesome. He just has to be in your starting lineup as like an RB2.
Adam Krautwurst on the Wester Hotline. Often I've asked you about Keon Coleman, more so in comparing him to the other Bills weapons on the offense. What about for the other rookie receivers? Like, no doubt he's going below and should go well below Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers. In fact, I think I saw by ADP, average draft position, they're going as maybe the two highest rookie receivers ever. I know that's true of Harrison. Maybe Nabers is close. But past those two, how far down that list of rookie receivers is Coleman for you going into drafts?
Yeah, I mean, he's probably I got him probably right there with Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, Coleman has a chance to be the number one receiver for Josh Allen. Now, all they're talking about, and you know this, all they're talking about is like, hey, fast guys run fast, hands catchers catch the ball with your hand. Like, everyone's got their own little role. So I can't see Coleman just taking over everything, but I do think he's got that Gabe Davis touchdown upside. He could be their red zone guy. 8, 9, 10 scores are certainly not out of the question. So I see that with him. I prefer him as a best ball pick where I don't have to find the weeks where he's going to catch a touchdown. So I could see him being like maybe rookie receiver 4 behind Odunze, But Brian Thomas is right there with him too, because again, Brian Thomas probably a little bit better right now than Keon Coleman is, and with a better chance to kind of take over there. Christian Kirk isn't really I like Christian Kirk, but you could see Brian Thomas taking over there as well with Evan Engram. So he's 4 or 5 to me, I think.
Okay, that's about where I would have him too. The one guy, like
McConkey
is the one that I just don't know, especially now with Herbert having an injury, and will that nag him going into the year? Because I already was worried about the Chargers running the ball too much, and now if Herbert is banged up, if they don't want to put too much stress on that, McConkey could be the number one receiver, but. This is kind of a lesson, I think, Adam, for fantasy players. What your philosophy is. If you're the number one weapon in an offense, does that automatically mean that you have to be good for fantasy? Because I feel like there are examples of that guy was the number one weapon, but either the talent didn't line up or the offense didn't line up. That how much was it really worth?
Right, exactly, and that's a great. And even looking like. Look at Buffalo this year. I know you were talking, they have Dalton Kincaid, and he's going fairly high. But, after that, no one's going high for the Bills or the Chiefs in years past. I mean, Rashee Rice, he wasn't drafted very high last year, and he was their best weapon. There are examples kind of through and through of teams. Well, somebody's got to catch. I mean, look at the Titans this year. I mean, their highest receiver right now is Calvin Ridley, going wide receiver 35. It's a dangerous thing to do. Somebody's got to catch the ball, but it's I mean, you're talking about a rookie receiver who wasn't touted as a top five guy. He can work inside outside, but he's got to learn the game, and he doesn't really have veterans there to really, teach him. I mean, he's got Josh Palmer, but he's not exceptional. Quentin Johnston was one of the worst rookies in the history of the NFL as far as underlying metrics. And so he's not, it's not like he's got someone to learn from there. So they're going to run the ball a ton. So I think it's hard for me to really get behind Ladd McConkey for sure. I've got him behind Brian Thomas and Keon Coleman just on upside alone. I don't think they're going to throw a lot of touchdowns.
Right. Let's get to quarterback a little bit here, Adam. Is this a year to draft quarterbacks early, get one of the top guys? Or is this more wait till the end, grab your guy? Let's assume, this is a more standard one quarterback league. And if so, who would, if you're someone that wants to wait until maybe the back half of your draft, wait to let the other guys get their quarterbacks first, who's a good middle teens, maybe closer to 20 quarterback that you like even as a starter early in the year?
Yeah, it's nice getting one of those sexy top quarterbacks that's going to score a ton of points. But I always feel like every time I do that, four rounds later, I'm like, oh my God, I could have had Kyler Murray in the freaking 10th round. And I always feel like I regret it. If you're going to go quarterback high, I like kind of getting the backfield. So if you have Barkley, I like getting Hurts. If you've got Taylor, I like getting Richardson, because then you're locked into maybe 30 rushing scores between your quarterback and your running back, and then you're not pissed off when you've got Barkley and Jalen Hurts falls into the end zone for his 11th touchdown from the half yard line. So I like doing that because you're combining for, like I said, maybe 30 rushing scores. So that's what I would do if I was going to pick a quarterback at the top. The middle guys I like, I really like Kyler Murray. He's got some huge upside. He's probably more of a higher end guy though still. But to me, man, Jaden Daniels is a guy that he's going to rush for 800 yards, and quarterbacks that have, I forget what the statistic is, but quarterbacks that basically have at least 80 rushes during the season are a lock to be a top 10 quarterback just because of the value of those rushing yards. So as long as Jaden Daniels stays healthy, I don't think there's any way he doesn't outproduce his ADP. And in home leagues, there's no way he's going to go in the top 10. You're going to get guys like Tua are going to go over him. Jared Goff's going to go over him. He could fall to QB 15 in some of these home leagues.
Yeah. Can I give you the guy that I feel like I'm drafting the most of? Because one, he's going late, and two, I think his defense is going to be horrible. I've been picking Matthew Stafford because I just feel like the Rams defense is so bad that he's going to be throwing the ball all year because they're going to be down in games, or it's going to be shootouts.
And that's the thing. That's a huge thing that people don't understand. I don't do projections, but when people, the guys who do projections, they factor that stuff in. Like, do they play indoors? Is their defense bad? Are they going to be in shootouts? That's a huge thing. And he's got McVay there. And the offense is very concentrated, too. So you can go get Kupp and Puka or one of them and know that Stafford, if he has a good year, that guy, that receiver he has, is going to have a really good year, too. So, yeah, Stafford's a nice gunslinger to get late.
Right. No rushing. He'd have to have crazy passing production. but maybe there's a chance at that. Finally, Adam, the tight end landscape at the moment, how tempting should it be to go in on Kyle Pitts again? I feel like everyone takes a turn every year of, okay, I'm going to bet on the breakout. Eventually it comes, right? Right, maybe.
didn't he break out as a rookie with 1,000 yards?
He did, but did he for fantasy because of the zero touchdowns or the one touchdown, whatever ended up with?
Yeah, I completely agree there. Pitts is scary because you get to take him a lot of times where you can get a really good receiver and stuff like that. But yeah, I think Pitts is going to break out. It's really up to him, honestly. Like. I know that's kind of weird to say, but like Kirk Cousins had a comment yesterday where he was talking about Kyle Pitts, and he was like talking about like telling he's very hard on Kyle Pitts. He tells him to catch the ball better with his hands and, you know, pluck the ball and run faster because he can and stuff like that. Like, I don't think Pitts had that coach on the field with him to really push him. And I think having Kirk Cousins there now to kind of teach him the nuances of the game, it kind of goes to show you like his potential and how it really is. Up to him. And yeah, I'm in on Kyle Pitts. The tight end I've been taking a ton of is Mark Andrews, because you get him at tight end 4, and he might be tight end 1 again. People forget he was tight end 1 like 2 years ago, and you can get him at tight end 4. But Pitts is a guy that, listen, I was the only guy that had a Kyle Pitts jersey in Western New York his rookie year. So I'm very high on Kyle Pitts. And I don't think you're going to regret taking him. And in home leagues, he probably is going to go as tight end 6 or 7 or even 8, because guys are going to hate Kyle Pitts. He'll probably go behind Evan Ingram and maybe even George Kittle, and definitely the top 5 guys.
Last year you had 2 rookie tight ends that were playable, and obviously Laporta was incredible. What's your opinion on Brock Bowers this year as a first-round rookie tight end that's going, what is he going, probably like back end of like the tight end 1 range?
Yep, he's going tight end 11-ish. I like him there. He's an all-time tight end prospect, right? Like that's where people have him ranked. And Laporta wasn't, and look at what Laporta did. If Bowers gets the targets, he's certainly capable as a receiver. If he gets the targets, he could absolutely smash. And I don't think there's any reason why he shouldn't. It's just, who's going to play quarterback? If it's Gardner Minshew, I like it, because he'll get the ball to the guys. But if it's AOC, whatever his name is, Aiden O'Connell, the range of outcomes is, it could be okay, but it could be terrible. And people forget Michael Mayer. Like, Mayer's not a bad tight end either. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why people were kind of surprised that they took Bowers, because they already had a really good young tight end there. But when you get a generational talent like Bowers coming in there, I hate saying generational talent, but when you get a generational talent like Bowers coming in there, I like him. He's a sexy, fun pick. With Bowers, I might take another tight end fairly quickly. Like, maybe you take a Dallas Goedert maybe 2 rounds later, or a Hunter Henry maybe 3 or 4 rounds later, in case.
Can I get a Freiermuth shout out here? I feel like an Arthur Smith tight end. Well, I guess actually I shouldn't automatically say that, because they do weird. He's done weird things, right?
Yeah. You want Arthur Smith's backup to tight end. Is who you want?
Who is that? Is that Darnell Washington, the giant guy from Georgia? Is in Pittsburgh.
I mean, he's definitely there. Washington's definitely there.
That's probably the guy. The monster tight end that I think we talked a little bit about the Bills for last year. Yeah. Adam Krauwers. All right, so you got to drive to Ohio today. Do you hate that drive as much as most of us do? The drive through Ohio?
I love road trips, man. Anytime I'm on a road trip, head to a fantasy event. I drive to Kentucky every year, to Louisville, for a big fantasy event. So
okay, so you're used to driving through Ohio then.
This is just a warm-up.
All right. Right, not bad. Well, enjoy Canton. I hope the weather turns out well for you. I know it's not great here, so you'll drive through us in this rain a little bit. But hope you have a great weekend. Deep End Fantasy, if you want to check out the podcast, Full Time Fantasy for Adam, and at Adam_Krautwurst. Enjoy Canton, dude.
Awesome, man. Thanks, Joe.
Adam Krautwurst on the Wester Hotline. It is Darnell Washington in Pittsburgh, by the way. The 6'8 monster for Pittsburgh that Arthur Smith is probably going to play 80% of the snaps this year. One quick follow-up on our fantasy conversation from right there. Tight end, Kincaid is going higher and higher and higher every single draft I do. Like, he is, I think people are catching up. This guy's going to have 100 catches this year. And if he does, all you need is 5-6 touchdowns, and you're going to get the payoff. You got to have some touchdowns. Like, we talked about Kyle Pitts there, and Adam asked, like, didn't Kyle Pitts already kind of break out? He did. Like, his rookie year, Kyle Pitts' rookie year, he had 68 receptions, 1,000 yards, but he only had one touchdown. So he broke out, but he did not break out for fantasy. And that is what's going to be important for Kincaid in a fantasy context. He could have 100 catches and 1,000 yards, but he's just got to have a few. Just a few. 5, 6, 7 touchdowns. Be a part of the red zone game. Don't be like to the extreme end like Pitts where you only have 1 or 2, which is what Kincaid had last year. As long as he's involved a little bit in the red zone game, I think he's a great idea, even to draft super early. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you got a thought. When we come back, I got a thought on Kyrie Elam. And what to do with him right now is different than our conversations about him from the past. And I think it's a really, really hard question to answer of what do you do going into week one if Kyrie Elam continues to look the way he's looked? It's a good problem to have, but it's a tough question to answer, I think. That, when we come back, my brother Lou DiBiase is going to join coming up at 9 from Locked On Eagles. All the drama that's going on right now with Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. Fractured relationship was the story from ESPN a couple of days ago. I also want to get him on the Bears because that's the Bills' opponent tomorrow, and Lou is very, very, very high on Chicago. That's coming up at 9. 803-0550 for your phone calls. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. This is WGR.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Are we going to use it if it takes this long? Okay. Yeah.
You know, we just run the chains out.
Yeah.
The laser's taking as long as they would if they were
longer.
It's a virtual animation.
Yeah.
Bring in the Baxley family and get the chains out there.
Well, yeah. It's preseason. Try all the new stuff in the NFL. I understand. Yeah. Oh, look at this.
There it is.
There you go. Hey. She's short. It's like going to the U.S. Open tennis. Oh, the ball hit the line. No, it did not hit the line.
That is from the Giants-Lions broadcast last night on Fox. That was the new Hawkeye technology measuring first downs. And as they pointed out, it took like 30 seconds, which is not supposed to be the goal of the Hawkeye technology. Like, the whole thing of why it works in tennis and volleyball and soccer, wherever they use it, is the replay review happens in like 4 seconds. And that is not what happened here.
Why did it take so long is what I want to know.
You know why it took so long? Because it's their first time doing it.
Yeah, but you don't think they would have practiced it a few times?
This is the practice.
No, come on. You got to practice it before you do it in a game.
This is the practice.
You just kind of go out there on the field, set down the ball, and say, okay, let's shoot it with the little camera and figure it out.
But it's analyzing the play. It's analyzing how far the ball went forward.
You can't simulate a play with like a random...
That's what I'm saying. This is the simulation.
I don't know.
This is the practice. This is the preseason. This is what you do this in.
I think they could have practiced it a different way first.
I don't know, but why?
This is like your real practice.
It's the preseason. I don't have to care if it takes 30 seconds in the preseason.
Well, because then you're going to get reactions like this where everyone's like, oh, this is stupid.
I don't think they care about that. I don't think they care about the reaction. They've been getting reactions about replay review for 20 years, and has it ever stopped them from adding to replay review? Like, to me, I saw this and saw a couple of people, a few, like the broadcasters, like, this, just do away with it. And to me, I'm like, this is, you got to go through it. This, if you want this to be streamlined, maybe you don't. I do. I want quick, accurate reviews. Under 5 seconds. Perfect. That's exactly what I want. I don't want to be talking for 3 hours after every football game about the mistake the referee made that deterred the outcome of a game. I don't want to spend that much time on all that nonsense. I don't want that to live in my rent-free in my head. When, you know, a measurement gets called wrong or a call goes the wrong way, if I can quickly correct that, do it. And this is, to me, what this will be, but it's baby steps. All of this is baby steps to inevitably getting to a point where calls are 100 times more accurate on the field than they were without any of this 20 years ago, and it'll be quicker. It'll be faster. We've seen evidence of that already. The eye in the sky, you know, after discussion, replay reviews that they have in the NFL right now, like, that takes no time at all now. It didn't 10 years ago. It was forever 10 years ago, where you'd have some referee jog over to this little curtain. It's like an old, like, 1800s camera that he would step into. And then he would look at the play on this little monitor underneath his hood, and he would watch it a couple of times, and he'd watch it for, what, 2 minutes? And then he'd come out and he'd make his decision. It's like a 3-minute process. They built TV commercial breaks around it. It's like a 3-minute process 10 years ago to figure out if a referee made the right call. Now, it takes 10 seconds? It's 50 times quicker than it was. And that's what will happen here. Yesterday, it took 30 seconds. And in 5 years, when this is implemented and streamlined and has been practiced 1,000 times, and they've worked out any of the little bugs or the kinks in the technology, then it'll take 10 seconds. You'll get there eventually. All the stuff, it's not going to work exactly as quickly and as perfectly as you want the first time they pull it out. And they're not going to do it in the regular season anyway. This is a practice for, like, next year. Maybe. They might not even do it next year. But I am just all in on, especially these first down markers, so inexact. And this is only for where they, like, is it close to the first down from where they marked it? This is actually not, hey, how far did the ball get moved forward? Where should the ball be marked? That's not a part of this yet, but that's absolutely next. The way, how quickly technology is working here, like there is no doubt that the next step is the thing to me that is the most inaccurate about officiating, the thing that is the hardest to get right on a consistent basis is spotting the ball. Think about the mechanics involved. The official standing at the sidelines 25 yards away is watching, all right, where is the furthest point the ball goes when the guy's knee hits the ground or when a part of his body hits the ground? And then after determining or seeing where the ball should be, this referee runs 25 yards, jogs 25 yards down the line to get to where the football is, and then decide from where he's standing to the inch where the ball should be placed. From how long does that take? 10 seconds? He's got to remember from 10 seconds before. He's trying to walk a tightrope down the line. And he's going to, you know, he's going to step right and then step left. He's going to move an inch or two one way or the other. And then they're going to measure the ball within an inch or two of the first down marker. The error will absolutely change the outcome of first downs because it's impossible for the guy to get it exactly right. It's impossible. That, to me, is a frustration that I've always had. Why are we measuring with the chains? Oh, the guy was short by an inch. Are we sure? Or did the referee just take one more right step than he did left step on his way to placing the football down? That's where I want to get with this. That within 5 seconds, the thing can tell me this is how far the ball was and this is how close it was to the first down marker. And I want it to happen quickly. I don't want to take all day. But I also don't want to take all day the next day yelling about, oh, the Bills got screwed over in a game because they mismarked a football. Did not get to Kyrie Elam there. We'll take a timeout here. That when we come back. Kyrie Elam and his camp and what type of decision that might force upon the Bills, which is a good problem to have, but it's going to be, I think, a really, really tough call for the Bills, for what they should do at corner going into the season. Jody Biasi, Jeremy White. Jeremy White's off today. 803-0550 for your phone calls. This is WGR. So Kevin Durant is losing his mind right now on Twitter.
Didn't he wake up to hate tweet at like 5 in the morning?
He's just... the guy can't stay off Twitter. But it's fine, right? Like... he's not saying anything disparaging. He's just fighting with people. He's fighting with people that are talking about Jokic. He's fighting with people about comparing greats all time. Just he's one of those guys that goes off on Twitter all the time. Kevin Durant. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. So, quick thought on Kyrie Elam. He is, by most accounts, all accounts, having a very, very strong training camp. He is, Chris Brown the other day, when we had him on at St. John Fisher, called him the most dynamic defender the Bills have had at training camp. And I've seen it. Like, he is hunting footballs. Taking the ball away, near pick sixes, other interceptions. He'll go up and get it. Breakups in the red zone drills that I've seen from him. He's done a really good job covering Coleman, too, I would say. Elam, I mean, I've been a defender of Kyrie Elam even when he wasn't really out there. When he was seen as a bust, and he still is, right? He'll have to go on the field and earn it in the regular season to not be labeled a bust. But he's always had numbers that point to better play than his reputation might tell you. He is, like, if you look at his two seasons, There are a lot of numbers where he's very comparable to Christian Benford, who I think is a very good cornerback. I mentioned there was another chart the other day that I saw, separation prevented, where Christian Benford's one of the best corners in football. Like, he's only below, like, Sauce Gardner. He's right up there with, like, Jalen Johnson. So, Benford is a very good corner. This is not meant to take away from him. But if you look at the two seasons Benford and Elam have played, the percentage in which they're targeted, okay, what's that number? That is, how often is the quarterback throwing at you? 12.4% for Kyrie Elam, 12.0% for Christian Benford. Exactly the same. Elam's not getting picked on. I mean, he is by 0.4%. He's really not getting picked on more than Benford is. How about yards per target allowed? Benford, 9.0. Elam, 8.5. All right, Elam a little bit better in that one, but same thing. It's basically the same. So, they're not giving up more yardage, one versus the other. How about missed tackle percentage? Is one of them a better tackler than the other through 2 years? Christian Benford, 8.0 missed tackle percentage. Kyrie Elam, 7.8. It's the same. Penalties. How about penalties? Now, worth mentioning here that Benford has played 786 coverages in his 2 years. Elam, 499. Penalties. Christian Benford, 10. Elam, 5. So, yes, he's been very grabby in college or in training camp. But when we go out to the games, who's the guy taking more penalties? It's Benford.
To be fair, though, Elam does have a smaller sample size.
But so it's not half.
That's true. It's still like, if he would have played the same amount as Benford,
he'd definitely have less. Because he has five. If you doubled his penalties, you'd have to double his snaps. And then Elam would have 1,000 snaps and Benford would have 786. So
that's true.
For penalties like per snap, Benford takes more penalties than Elam does. But right, it's not double. But it's still, Elam would be less. How about interception rate? Now, this is one where you'd expect Elam to be higher because he is seen as more of a ball hawk, more athletic. Interception rate per target. Benford gets an interception on 3%, 3.1% of his targets when he's targeted. Elam, 6.5%. It's more than twice as good. Again, I am not reading you these numbers, but I think Christian Benford is a bad football player. I think he should be re-signed in a year or two. I think Benford should be one of their top two corners for years. I think Elam, though, maybe should be the other when Rasul Douglas either ages out or isn't re-signed. The overall point here, though, all these numbers, and now in addition to it, a solid training camp by Kyrie Elam creates a tough decision. And for me, I think they have to have a rotation. If this continues through the preseason and through the rest of camp in Orchard Park, if Elam doesn't slow down, if he keeps making plays like he is, he can't not play. I also don't think you could take Christian Benford off the field. I don't also think you could take Rasul Douglas off the field. I think you have to have a rotation. I think you have to get them all involved. There's a future outlook here, too. I'll get to that when I come back. Elam and what he could change for the Bills in terms of their next contracts. These numbers, though, like, he's been better on the field than you think. And now he's having a great camp that the Bills are impressed by. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. This is WGR.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So Kevin Durant is losing his mind right now on Twitter.
Didn't he wake up to hate tweet at like 5 in the morning?
He's just... The guy can't stay off Twitter. But it's fine, right? Like, he's not saying anything disparaging. He's just fighting with people. He's fighting with people that are talking about Jokic. He's fighting with people about comparing greats all time. Just he's... Yeah, he's... He's one of those guys that goes off on Twitter all the time. Kevin Durant. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. So, quick thought on Kyrie Elam. He is, by most accounts, all accounts, having a very, very strong training camp. He is, Chris Brown the other day, when we had him on at St. John Fisher, called him the most dynamic defender the Bills have had at training camp. And I've seen it. Like, he is, man, he is hunting footballs. Taking the ball away, near pick sixes, other interceptions. He'll go up and get it. Breakups in the red zone drills that I've seen from him. He's done a really good job covering Coleman, too, I would say. Elam, I mean, I've been a defender of Kyrie Elam even when he wasn't really out there. When he was seen as a bust, and he still is, right? He'll have to go on the field and earn it in the regular season to not be labeled a bust. But he's always had numbers that point to better play than his reputation might tell you. He is, like, if you look at his two seasons, there are a lot of numbers where he's very comparable to Christian Benford, who I think is a very good cornerback. I mentioned there was another chart the other day that I saw, separation prevented, where Christian Benford's one of the best corners in football. Like, he's only below, like, Sauce Gardner. He's right up there with, like, Jalen Johnson. So, Benford is a very good corner. This is not meant to take away from him. But if you look at the two seasons Benford and Elam have played, the percentage in which they're targeted Okay, that these are that that's a what's that number? That is how often is the quarterback throwing at you? 12.4% for Kyir Elam, 12.0% for Christian Benford. Exactly the same. Elam's not getting picked on. I mean, he is by 0.4%. He's really not getting picked on more than Benford is. How about yards per target allowed? Benford, 9.0. Elam, 8.5. All right, Elam a little bit better in that one, but same thing. It's basically the same. So they're not giving up more yardage one versus the other. How about missed tackle percentage? Is one of them a better tackler than the other through 2 years? Christian Benford, 8.0 missed tackle percentage. Kyir Elam, 7.8. It's the same. Penalties. How about penalties? Now, worth mentioning here that Benford has played 786 coverages in his 2 years. Elam, 499. Penalties. Christian Benford, 10. Elam, 5. So, yes, he's been very grabby in college or in training camp, but when we go out to the games, who's the guy taking more penalties? It's Benford.
To be fair, though, Elam does have a smaller sample size,
but so it's not. But it's not half.
That's true. It's still like if he would have played the same amount as Benford,
he'd have less.
Number would
he definitely have less because he has five. If you doubled his penalties, you'd have to double his snaps, and then Elam would have 1,000 snaps, and Benford would have 786.
That's true.
For penalties like per snap, Benford takes more penalties than Elam does. But right, it's not double, but it's still Elam would be less. How about interception rate? Now this is one where you'd expect Elam to be higher because he is seen as more of a ball hawk, more athletic. Interception rate per target. Benford gets an interception on 3.1%. Of his targets when he's targeted. Elam, 6.5%. It's more than twice as good. Again, I am not reading you these numbers, but I think Christian Benford is a bad football player. I think he should be re-signed in a year or two. I think Benford should be one of their top two corners for years. I think Elam, though, maybe should be the other when Rasul Douglas either ages out or isn't re-signed. The overall point here, though, all these numbers, and now in addition to it, a solid training camp by Kyir Elam creates a tough decision. And for me, I think they have to have a rotation. If this continues through the preseason and through the rest of camp in Orchard Park, if Elam doesn't slow down, if he keeps making plays like he is, he can't not play. I also don't think you could take Christian Benford off the field. I don't also think you could take Rasul Douglas off the field. I think you have to have a rotation. I think you have to get them all involved. There's a future outlook here, too. I'll get to that when I come back. Elam and what he could change for the Bills in terms of their next contracts. These numbers, though, like, he's been better on the field than you think. And now he's having a great camp that the Bills are impressed by. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.